Welcome to Safety First with Danger Tate.
Welcome to Safety First with Danger Tate. I'm Tate, and this is my show where I talk to really cool people about the cool things that they do. Our guest today is the OG river runner in my family. He's the reason I got into the sport, and I'm so excited for you to get to know him. Grandpa Bob. Grandpa Bob spent his career working as a lawyer and rafting every chance he could get. He still hikes 5 days a week in order to be ready for river season, and he's done the Middle Fork for longer than I've been alive. He's thebomb.com, introducing the man, the myth, the legend, Grandpa Bob.
I need you as a press agent. Hello, Tate.
I will happily be your press agent, Grandpa, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm so excited for everyone to get to know you today. And I'm really excited to hear about rafting and kind of when you started rafting and why you've stayed in it. And, you know, you've managed to get pretty much 37 people into the sport, just our family alone. So let's just hear, when was your first river trip?
First river trip was a commercial trip in Lodore Canyon in 1977.
A commercial trip?
Yes, it was with a friend of mine who I'd known for probably 6 or 7 years before that. He was a neighbor when we moved to Salt Lake for me to start law school in 1970. He had run for a local river runner out of Salt Lake in the early 60s when he was in high school, and had run, like, he's one of the few people left alive who ran Glen Canyon before the dam.
Did he do that as a commercial trip?
Yes.
With what company?
I think it was called Worldwide.
Oh, nice. And is that, who did you do yours? Who did you do yours with?
That was the same company. And Susan and I went with, we were invited by some friends who set the trip up. We went on that trip. And if you had the opportunity for your first river trip to be in the summer in Lodore Canyon, you have made it.
Wow. Okay. How did that transpire into you doing it yourself?
Well, we did another trip with the same group in about 1981.
Okay.
On the Yampa. And same friend again was our boatman. Nat followed up with riding with some other folks, doing a couple of Westwater trips. And about 1982, I decided maybe I ought to buy a raft. So I found a raft on a newspaper listing, very old.
Really?
Yeah. On the sporting goods for sale in a newspaper in Salt Lake. It was a 16-foot bucket boat. I don't know what the manufacturer was. So I had a boat. I had nothing to rig it with, and talked to some folks who had built boats up. And I was advised to get some red oak and build a frame out of red oak, because if you ram red oak into a rock, it won't split like polar will.
Oh my God.
So you got 4 pieces of red oak and you connected them up in a box and found a way to strap them onto the boat. And I borrowed some oars that used to have a drop pin that went down through a hole you mounted on the frame, held in a clamp, and borrowed those oars. And the first trip I ran by myself was Red Canyon on the green below Flaming Gorge Dam.
Oh my gosh. And did your gear work? Did the frame work?
Lost one oar because those pins didn't hold well. That was a barred oar. I had to buy a guy an oar after that.
Oh my gosh. Well, and how many rafts do you have right now?
4, if you don't count the fishing pontoon. But I've got a cat, I got a 16-foot air cat, I've got an 18-foot very old Avon Baler, I've got a 14-foot Achilles, and a very affectionately known as the legacy in the family, a 16-foot Nez Perce.
Yeah, that is definitely
which legacy. Everybody in the family has rowed at one time or another.
And do you have a favorite to row?
Favorite child?
Yes, I want to know right here. Let your kids know. No, favorite raft.
Wow. I think of my favorite raft, it'd probably be the second one I had, which was a 16-foot Udisco Yellow Nova. It was a local Salt Lake manufacturer of those, and bucket boat with a kind of a loose floor on it, and it really sucked down into the water. It was very hard to flip that boat, although I did manage to do it once.
Where?
Twice.
Oh, where did you flip? Yeah, where did you flip?
Into the embarrassing stuff.
Yeah, perfect.
I flipped first time after 15 seasons on in Westwater on Socotomy.
Oh, really? Wait, Socotomy, that's the one with the magnetic wall at the bottom?
Yeah, below Skull.
Okay.
Next one was at Rubber on the Middle Fork.
Yeah,
Took the wrong angle in. Next one after that was Rubber again with a different raft with that Nez Perce. And then, then I've managed to have trouble at Chittum twice over the last 4 years.
Yeah, Chittum. Well, I mean, I remember that trip. We were on the main salmon and the weather just like came in just like full fog. You couldn't see 20 feet ahead of you.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone stood a chance in Chittum.
It was a micro. I made it through, but there were two boats behind me that didn't.
Well, so back to your bucket boat. If it is really hard to flip once you flipped it, or like once it was flipped the wrong side up, was it hard to flip it back over?
No, just had more people there.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
On the Middle Fork, we pulled to the shore. On Westwater, we had to pull another boat up next to it and have them stand on that because there's no shore down in the gorge.
Yeah.
So that's boats. We started out wearing May West life jackets, and there was no keep dry, keep warm gear that I knew of. I just wore rain suits.
And did you just get used to being cold, or how did you manage?
You get used to being cold.
I honestly am so glad that I wasn't born. Like, I feel like I was born in the perfect gear time to be like comfortable and like I can go do it. But I don't know if I could do being cold. I think that's impressive. And yeah, I don't think I could do it.
If you wear black rain suits, they'll dry out a lot faster from the sun, if there is sun.
Oh, that's smart. So when was the first time that you did the Middle Fork?
I rode with friends in the early 80s. In fact, your grandmother did a Middle Fork trip before I did. I was recovering from a knee surgery. So she did the first one, and I came in the next couple of years. I rode with some friends, and then when I got the Disco raft, I took it up there. I talked to my friend Ken, who got me into this.
Uh-huh.
I asked him once after a Yampa trip that he let me row a little bit. I said, do you think I'm ready for the Middle Fork? His comment was, of course, we'll find out.
Oh my gosh. Wait, so you didn't know how to row when you first rode the Middle Fork?
Well, I'd done a little rowing. I actually had done a Westwater trip before we did the Middle Fork.
Okay. Well, I mean, but I got to be honest, I feel like Westwater and Middle Fork are very different styles of rowing, right? Like desert versus more mountainous continuous. Yeah. So how was that transition?
Well, I prefer downhill rivers to desert rivers.
You're like, I'm not pushing in the flats.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
My first whole trip rowing was Westwater.
Wow.
And it was a remarkable trip. We ran into some trouble and managed to find a way through it.
What happened?
I borrowed an old boat from a friend and went down Funnel Falls and bumped the back left tube,
punctured
it, and hit the dropout pool from Funnel Falls, and I had four people out of the raft in the runout pool. And three of them came up, and people kept diving down. We finally found the fourth one and got that person back in the raft out of the water. Now I'm 100 yards above Skull Rapid or so, uh-huh, with a 3-tube boat. So we grabbed the left shore of the river, and you know that those handholds that are there along the water level, uh-huh, where the river's eroded those little funny handholds.
Yeah.
So I got four people to hold the handholds, and we pulled that tube up on a rock and patched the tube, got it together, and I made the best run of Skull Rapid I've ever done.
Oh my gosh. Wait, how long did it take for you to patch the hole?
We were there maybe an hour.
Wow.
Just hanging onto the wall of the canyon and right there above where the rock fall is that starts the restriction above Skull Rapid.
You know the saying that like you really shouldn't scout a rapid for a really long time because then you'll get more nervous. I feel like with that, I would be listening to Skull the whole time and be so stressed.
I want to show you something that evidences my attitude.
Okay, let's see. Okay, for those of you listening, he's holding up a Utah license plate, and it says read and run.
That's my attitude about scouting. I share that with your mother.
Oh my gosh. With the read and run, I mean, I have no words, honestly. I kind of want to copy you and maybe I should get read and run. Do you think I could get that? I probably couldn't get the same plate as you, could I? Legally? As a lawyer, you would know.
Not of Utah, but you could in Washington or Oregon, maybe.
Okay, I'm doing it.
Okay, you wanted to know how we got the family involved in this, since you're part of this?
Yeah, I do. I would love to know that.
Well, after I got that second boat, did a Middle Fork trip, and Jenny came with me. Jenny was 14, your mother.
That's my mom.
And she rode along with me. We did the Middle Fork. We came back the next year in the same boat, and we shared the row. She rode the top half. I rode the bottom half.
Of the Middle Fork? When she was 15?
She was 14.
And she
when she was 15, I think.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Shout out, Jenny. Way to go.
And then a couple of years later, she came back with a rented boat, and we did a six-person trip, two boats on the Middle Fork on a four-day trip.
Whoa. So wait, how many times do you think you've been down the Middle Fork?
More than 20.
Do you have a favorite rapid?
Yeah, I do. I wish there was a way to go back and run Jack Creek three times a trip. In medium to high water, because you have a long, long run out wave train.
So that's fun. Yeah. Is that your favorite thing of rafting, is wave trains?
Favorite thing of rafting. My favorite thing of rafting is being on the raft, having the oars in my hands.
What do you like about it?
I like the feel of being able to control where the raft goes sometimes.
That's how I feel. I'm like, sometimes the river controls me.
Yeah, that's it. The thrill of rafting is something that caught me early on. And I don't know how other people feel about it. Most passengers get the thrill when you hit into a rapid.
Mm-hmm.
My rush is lining up for the rapid.
Say more. What do you mean?
Well, the thrill to me and what gets my heart going is I know I'm a few hundred yards above what used to be called Tappan Three, now Cove Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in and they're lining up. What side am I doing? How far do I get over to the bank? It's that thrill of lining up and the release. And the enjoyment is dropping down into the rapid, not the rapid itself.
And do you feel like when you first like make that drop, do you know if you like set up well or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt that on the Grand Canyon rowing into lava of like, I really could not be in the right spot right now. But yeah, the anticipation sometimes is almost too much for me.
It's part of it.
Yeah.
Good part of it. I enjoy being on the river. I enjoy the sound of the river. I enjoy the people that are with us. I enjoy the scenery. Some rivers now, I like these YouTube clips that come in of river trips because I finally get to see what the scenery is in full instead of just looking at the rocks and reading the river.
I feel like that's a really good point. I think I get so dialed in on the river or just chatting. Do you like having a passenger on your boat or do you like the solo time on a boat?
I like having a passenger.
Yeah.
I like showing other people what it is, what it feels like.
Okay, so I mean, your memory of river trips blows me away because you have been on so many and you can remember like intimate details of every single one of them. I'd love to hear about some of your favorite camping experiences on whichever river come to mind.
I used to fish in Jones Hole Canyon on the Green quite often back in the 70s and 80s. And I like all the Jones Hole camps.
Wait, which stretch? You said on the Green River?
Yeah. So you've come around the confluence of the Yampa into Whirlpool Canyon and you get to Jones Hole Camp.
Uh-huh.
We've used all four of the camps there. And I like Jones Hole 1. It used to be fun. There was a rock chuck that lived in a pile of rocks at the back of the camp.
Wait, what's a rock chuck?
That's a yellow-bellied marmot. It's a kind of a groundhog-like animal.
Oh.
And you could go lay a piece of meat on one of the rocks, and that rock chuck could come out and grab the meat and eat it while you're sitting there having dinner.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, speaking of food on the river, do you have a favorite camp meal?
German night.
Oh, of course.
Lots of hot German potato salad and red cabbage.
Yeah, that's true. I really can't think of a river trip without German night and not think of you.
Yeah. I like
German
that.
Night. Do you like cooking?
Well, other people have taken over cooking. I do have a kit that has been used occasionally, but others have taken over and they're better cooks than me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So when you were getting people, like getting your kids into rafting and all that kind of stuff, and you were the like trip leader, you were planning the food and all that, what would you bring? Were you the SpaghettiOs type of dad?
No. Susan would plan out meals for us and prepare the entrees, and we freeze them or put them in coolers with dry ice. And no, I wasn't much for canned food.
With dry ice?
Dry ice.
Do you remember on my 9th birthday, we were on Gates of Lodore. It was my first river trip ever. And we brought ice cream and we used dry ice. And didn't it carbonate the ice cream?
Yes. We found out on some non-river trips that there were delicacies with dried ice. Carbonated grapes, carbonated bananas, carbonated yogurt.
Were you kind of into any of them? Like, are you a carbonated yogurt guy now?
It's just how we found that out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I remember that. That was a fun trip. It rained like a lot, I remember.
Food. Yes, it's important to have good food.
Okay. Well, food, yes, but I made me think of like having little kids on the river. Do you have any tricks for having kids on the river? What's the key?
Well, have something they'll eat. Kids can be finicky.
Yeah, true. What about like entertainment at camp? Are you entertainment committee? You're leading the games?
No, we rely on you for that. I think your sailor suit on the San Juan was a hit of the trip.
Oh yeah, costumes are everything. It's costumes or bust for me.
No, that's a part of the river running I haven't gotten into.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Food. There was a Middle Fork trip that your mother and I did with two boats, and the only time it stopped raining was when it snowed.
Oh my gosh, what time of year? June?
It was June.
Okay.
We had prepared meals and we had prepared lunches, and we had these great sandwiches that Susan had made for us, and we pulled off at Loon Creek for a lunch stop, and we're so cold we had to go hide in the willows and wait to warm up because six of us got prepared sandwiches that were in Ziplocs, and not one of the six of us could get our fingers to work well enough to open Ziplocs.
Oh my gosh.
So we started dancing and jumping up and down for about 20 minutes before we had the dexterity to eat lunch.
No, that's too cold. Would you do it again? Would you do that trip again?
Actually, the people that were with us came with us another time, so we didn't scare them off. I don't mind the cold. I've seen some pictures, videos of us on a trip, and not only did I not know it was raining, but I didn't know it was snowing, because on the Middle Fork, there's so much water coming in your face from the river. You can't have, don't have time to look up and see what the weather is.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So how did we get this going and keep it going? Despite some difficult experiences on rivers, we keep coming back. So at this point, I made a list. There are 9 family members who have also rowed a complete river with me.
Oh, let's hear it.
Me, Jenny, Jamie, Ashley, Johnny, Maddie, Kyle, Tate, Allison, and Gabe.
Wow.
That's everything from the Maine Salmon, Middle Fork, Rogue, Lador, San Juan.
I mean, that's amazing. That's 3 generations right there.
Plus, there are, that's 10 of us, and I've listed out maybe 10 other family members who have been with us who have not rowed the boats.
Okay, let's hear.
Rose, Justin, Susan, Rachel, Matthew, Sam, Levi, Heidi, Brad, and Dan.
Oh, but actually you have to adjust that a little bit, because Levi at 8 years old did row my boat through a rapid.
Yes, he did. On the San Juan.
Yeah, he did it all himself. Yeah, way to go, Levi.
We start him young. Johnny started at 12.
Rowing his own boat?
No, just to start rowing. Actually, I had him at 12 years old do a Moab daily that we did for a church camp.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that's how we've done it.
Okay, so on a multi-day trip, obviously there's like a lot of routine like embedded in it, right? You get to camp, you set stuff up, all that. Do you have a favorite part of the routine?
I take a lot of time to find my camp spot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, what are you looking for a good camp spot?
I want to be somewhere away from people who talk and snore. And I want to be near enough to the river that I get the river sound. So setting up, getting the rafts off, back before we had sand stakes to pound in, we would dig a hole and bury it. Put an oar in a hole and pack the sand back in it, and then hook the boat lines to that oar, so it was, all the blade was in the ground. Finding somebody who wants to pick a spot for the groover. That's part of the routine.
Okay, I kind of have a question. I mean, you've been rafting since the 80s, so 80s, 90s. 2000s, 2010s, now the 20s. Oh my gosh, wait, that's like 45 years.
It is.
That's incredible. And Do you think you could come up with a word for like what rafting in the 80s was like? What rafting? Oh, wait. Allie just commented on this. Allie is my cousin. She has one of the people that's rode a trip. And her comment was, going on river trips was such a great part of my childhood. I have wonderful memories of them. So glad we have the coolest grandpa who shared and passed down his passions with us. That's you. Okay. Do you have a word that you like could sum up the 80s and then the 90s just to kind of see like the evolution of rafting for you through the years?
Well, of course, the equipment changed. We went from making wood frames in bucket boats to making frames out of, you could use muffler pipe for that and get a muffler bender from a garage to make frames. You could use conduit pipe, 1.5 inch conduit, and flare it out so it'll connect up as a frame. I've got 3 of those frames still.
Wait, that you made? Like you made your own frame?
Well, someone made them. I haven't made them, but I know how they're made. Oh. I bought them with the rafts.
My gosh.
So we had none of the modular Northwest River supply pieces to make frames that are all adjustable to your every whim.
Yeah. How would you hear about rivers, right? Because there was no internet. Also, my mom commented and said 80s and 90s, the word for her would be cold, all caps. But how would you like get beta on the rapids? Were there guidebooks or how did you know about, you know, Tappan Falls?
As I said, my neighbor Ken invited me on a trip with him, and that's how we got going. We rode together for 30 years. He knew of other rivers. So I think the next one we went to when I started rowing, as I said, was Westwater. Then we branched into Lodora trips annually or Yampa trips. Believe it or not, you could get on the Yampa and Lodora relatively easy back in the 80s and early 90s.
Because there were no permits or what?
Well, there were permits, but you could find them easily. There was no great interest in, there was no massive interest in river running then. So you get on rivers as much as you want. We do 3 or 4 trips a year.
Wow. How many trips a year do you do now? How many did you do last year?
Did one okay. The previous 4 years. It's just harder to get on. A lot of those trips were early season, out of lottery season, main trips.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't as hard back then. I agreed that we didn't have clothing that kept you dry and warm. I agree with Jenny.
Okay, yeah. So back to the original question of a word for the things. The gear changed a lot. What else?
Well, we were gaining experience, of course, on how to run a river and how to read the water and so forth. So that was a period of introduction and working up some skills and learning how to run and learning how to work your way through the permit process to get on the rivers. Mm-hmm. 90s, it was bringing older children along. We probably had kids from the age of 10 or 11, 12 on rivers with us. Those kids grew up, and by the 2000s, late 90s, 2000s, they were in boats running them. So it was the children of people I started with were running rivers with, and now it's the grandchildren. People we started running with in the 80s who are on the river.
I think that's so cool because one thing that I value so much now for myself is I'm so comfortable in water, you know, like I think that's such a life skill to just like be comfortable on a rock in the middle of a river. And so I think that really like is generational, you know, like I came from you learning and like taking the steps to learn how to do it and be comfy in the water to then show my mom who then showed me, you know, and you showed me too. But I think that that's, So thank you for that. I think that's really special.
You're welcome. It's been very gratifying to have family along and see that they can grab this sport and run with it.
Well, and who would have ever thought that from all the private boating that, you know, now Maddie and I, my sister and I, we guide commercially. It's just cool to see. That's how we make our money.
Yeah. Terminology has changed. In the
80s
into the 90s, I had never heard the phrase river guide.
Really?
Everyone, regardless of gender, that had hold of the oars was a boatman.
Oh, yeah.
And I realize that's not particularly gender specific. Guide is gender anomalous, so I think it's replaced boatman. But still, when I make out passenger lists, I will put the and trip lists and how to, who's got a boat, who's going to be rowing it. I put boatman in that column on my spreadsheet.
Well, yeah, because you've been trip leader forever, right? Like you've always kind of been the trip leader, or was it Ken? Yeah.
It was both of us. Whoever got the permit generally to do that, and we worked together, group, or Ken, Stan, me, Reed. We'd get together and work the trip details out. It was, you know, just something to do. It's part of the river running is that pre-trip planning. It's an enjoyable thing to do. Pull it up on my computer screen now instead of on paper and start filling out the columns of who's bringing what gear, who's got the groovers, who's got dry boxes, who's got coolers, so forth, water cans, whatever, and work out the logistics of the trip. It's a great thing to do in the spring when you're waiting for the snow to melt.
So you are where I got my deep passion for organization.
I have to put it down in print to work it. That's me.
Well, what I'd love to hear now is just some of your favorite river stories, you know, the ones that, you know, when it is the dreary winter and it's snowing outside, what are the stories that come to mind that put you back in the river mindset?
Well, I like to...
Also, I think I hear Grandma. Is she upstairs?
She is. She's on the phone.
Oh, copy that. All right. Well, if you hear any listeners, if you hear any background, that's my grandma, the other OG rafter. Okay. Let's hear your stories. Sorry for the interruption.
Well, that trip I told you about on the Middle Fork where we couldn't get the sandwiches open, the other boatman was in the river twice that day. And we got down to camp at Hospital Bar, and it was a cold, rainy, windy night. We put three or four oars in the sand and rigged a tarp up against them to put the kitchen behind it to cook our dinner, which was spaghetti that night. I will admit, it was spaghetti. Never canned spaghetti. And we looked around. There were six of us, and we looked around for her and never saw her. It wasn't until I got back to the tent that night that we were sharing that I found her curled up in the corner in a fetal position with everything on top of her, and found out the next day or later that she had written in her diary, "I think I am going to die." That's a trip I'll never forget. Nor will she.
Oh my gosh, but she made it. She probably had a great time, and I know she did a lot of river trips after that. Oh my gosh. Yes. I am going to die.
We've had kayakers show up on our camp at breakfast once. They pulled in because they could smell bacon frying, and they were so tired of eating ramen noodles that they begged for breakfast, and we fed them. That was down at California Bar on the main.
Oh my gosh! Okay, well, yeah, that sounds. I mean, that truly is the most kayaker thing I've ever heard.
You know about kayaking.
I know about kayakers. Oh yeah.
I think the first time you do a river is very memorable. You're with people who've done it before and they're talking up how difficult the rapids are and they're adding anxiety to it. So I think the first time I got down to Velvet Falls, I was Mr. Very Attentive and managed to get over to the left side and bounce down the stair of waves and hit into the pool below and thought myself pretty good. I have never had a problem with Velvet. 1 year when the Middle Fork was up around 6, I had my 18-foot Avon, and you didn't need to scout Velvet. It was one complete slide from bank to bank, and so I just went straight through it.
Oh my gosh.
And no need to maneuver. It was like one of those sit on a burlap bag slide at the amusement parks. It's just like,
it's funny you say that, because another person commented and said floating down a river is like a ride at Disneyland. And I think that totally proves it.
Well, I think I heard one of your other interviewees mention this. I also have this thought. By about the second day of a river trip, the only place I'm aware of is where I am. And the only thing I think about is where I am. Everything else is left somewhere else. That's something that I've enjoyed about rivers. It's so refreshing to empty your mind and just fill it with the river. By that same feeling comes, an initial feeling comes to me sometimes on trips, usually in slack water. I look at the both banks of the river and I honestly feel like I'm stationary and the river and land are coming to me as I go down the river.
That's really cool.
Maybe hard for people to understand that, but that's a feeling I've had for years.
That makes me really excited for this season to just to play with that thought and to try and to see if that happens to me. I know it has. I mean, for me, I feel like I love swimming in the river. That's like my favorite thing, is jumping in the river and grabbing my raft and pulling it along. And so I don't know, just I think that it's been a common theme with all of the people on the show and, you know, with myself included. I think that the ability to be present on a river is unlike anything else. I mean, it's any really expedition thing that you do with people, but to just like sit and look at the river or read a book or fall asleep to the noise or, you know, have a chat with someone on a raft, I feel like that really only comes on a river trip. And so, you know, that ability to be present, I don't know. I don't know where I'd be without it. So, oh, okay. We did have a question come in from the comments. Said, what's your worst wind experience? That's a great question.
At the end of a Lodore trip, we came through Schoolboy Rapid in Split Mountain, and this wind came up and 2-foot rollers were coming upstream and it was blowing the tops of those waves off into a squall. Hit me in the face and plastered on my glasses, and I could feel my raft lift up as we went over this. I kept wondering how much more wind would it take to flip this raft over while we're going over these waves. And I had an inexperienced boatman with me who I thought, this is not a good thing to do. So we pulled over to the shore and waited the wind out, and it never stopped. So never stopped till after dark. And by the time it got dark, I thought it wasn't advisable to go down the river. I knew we had Inglesby below us, I think, but we could have seen that and gotten around it, but I just didn't think it was advisable to go downstream if that wind picked up again and dumped boats in the night. So we went up to shore, found a little alcove in the cliff, and we slept there. me and the family, me, Susan, aww, Johnny, Rachel, Dan, and Ashley.
That's not the trip where it was the We Are the Schumachers, right?
Yes.
That's the same trip?
So yeah. So we're there, and unbeknownst to us, someone has called search and rescue down at the takeout ramp in Dinosaur. And
Wait. A little more context. So they knew you were there.
Well, they knew we weren't with them at the takeout.
Okay. It's part of your group or a different group?
Our group.
Okay.
So they knew we weren't there, and there's no way, we didn't have any radios, so we didn't know how to, there's no way to communicate with them, and it was unwise to send somebody out to get lost in the cliffs, so we stayed there. So down at the ramp, as it's described to me later, every emergency vehicle in Uinta County showed up at the boat ramp.
Oh, my
fire,
God.
Rescue, EMTs, police, sheriff. And they tried to get people to go across the river in a canoe, and they couldn't find anybody who could make it across the current. Finally, two EMTs took over, and they got across the river and made their way over the rocks. And at about 4:30 or 5 in the morning, we saw some lights across the river kind of bouncing around. They were headlamps. We walked down to the river and we started yelling to them, "We're the Schumachers, we're okay." And they were kept making gestures that they couldn't hear us. Finally, we walked upstream from the shore of the river, about 20 feet above the river, and they did too. And you can yell across the river when you're away from it. Didn't know that till then.
So then what happened?
We're the Schumachers. So now your funny aunts, Rachel and Ashley, periodically will bring that up.
We are the Schumachers.
And we are okay.
Well, and then, so did you go down and go across, or how did the story
end? No,
they
walked back, and we got on the river just at daybreak. And there was one truck down there. Ken and Jamie waited for us. We had to pack about 8 people into my pickup truck.
Drive
all the way home. And when we'd gotten the last part of that trip, we'd stopped at Rainbow Park, where above Moonshine Rapid, where the day trips start. And we'd had lunch, and we contributed all of our water to the lemonade jug. And all of our food was gone. So basically we're there that night with nothing to drink till the next morning. So we stopped in Vernal when we got off the river and into town, went to a restaurant for breakfast. And I think I drank 5 glasses of water straight and 2 lemonades by the time breakfast got there.
Oh my gosh. You were like full on survival.
Yes, it's not advisable to get rid of all of your water, no matter how close the takeout is. Mostly old river runners get together and they talk about the accidents, the flips and whatever. It's a habit old river runners have. I tend to have gravitated away from that because they're a little embarrassing sometimes.
Well,
this tree, once one party, your mom put together the river running tree, and there's a lot of branches coming off of that. There are maybe 2 or 3 people at the top of it. And I would say I've been doing this so long that I want to shout out to some people. Jerry, Rod, Ken, Greg, Rick, Jaron. All of them have gone to the river in the sky since the last 10 years. But that's one of the things that you do if you keep doing something long enough. You lose your friends. And now I've got to find people foolish enough to ride with an old man in a raft.
Makes me get so emotional just because Yeah, I mean, I remember like going to RJ's funeral and stuff like that, but I didn't know. I didn't know them, but I just like in all the old stories, they're there. And so that's, I'm glad that you could shout them out. I think that's really special and really cool for people who know them.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have any other stories that you want to share? You've got an audience. Jamie said that some of us had a different experience that night. He called you out for that one.
Well, yeah, he did. I started out following my friend Stan down the rivers and worked their rule. If it worked for Stan, I did it. If it didn't, I'd do something else. So I have been there the three times that I know that he's flipped a raft. He was right in front of me and I just I better not do that.
And did you?
I didn't flip a raft. I did something else.
What did you do?
I went over the peak of the wave, not on the side of it.
Yes.
And other things. So, yeah.
Maddie asked a question in the comments. Maddie's my sister. This is very fun. This is like a whole family affair right now. I'm really, I'm so grateful that you could come on the show. And I can't tell you how much it means to me. So thank you. And Maddie asked, what life advice would you give to the next generation of people who happen to be rafters?
Savor every minute of it. You don't know how long you'll be able to do it. I finished the Middle Fork trip 4 years ago. We were down at Cash Bar at the takeout and we'd gotten our gear off and there was another group that came in after us. And I went down to wash in the river, kind of sweaty from hauling all that gear up to the trailers, and took my hat and glasses off and my shirt off and set it on somebody else's boat. And he looks at me and says, yeah, go ahead and use my boat. And then he looks at me and he says, couple of expletives. He asks, you're how old, 60? And I said, no, 75. He looks at me again and says, couple of expletives. And he says, you are hardcore.
Okay, so what I'm hearing for life advice is savor every minute and be hardcore.
Yeah. Don't give up.
Also, you'll be happy to know that one of the listeners said that you're welcome in his boat anytime.
I like passengers to have a good ride. Westwater trip, all the boys in my neighborhood and decided to come along, and one of the rowdier ones at the put in there on Westwater ran up to his friends and says, come in his boat, he has the best ride. I don't know where he got that information from, but
maybe has there been a time on a river trip where you've been like really nervous for a rapid? And like, what do you tell yourself before a big rapid that you're really nervous for? Like, what do you say out loud or what goes through your mind?
I've been known to tell my boat to get over, add some expletives to it. You know, get the heck over there. Once you start it, once you've lined up and got there, that's where you are. And you've got to work with what you have. I don't know that I've really been all that nervous. There was a little bit of nervousness the first time in Grand Canyon. Just getting used to the length of the trip and how long we were there and the size of all these rapids and so forth. But as we started doing it, it was a river.
I remember the first time that you did the Grand Canyon, you came back from the trip and you had some insights into like how it felt like with the days, right? You're like, by this day, I felt like this. By this day, I felt like this. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Since we'd only done 6 days with maybe a day there in camp before for other trips, that was the longest I'd done was a week. So about 8, 9, 10 days into it, I'm thinking this is really long. By day 12, that was behind me. And it was, yeah, it's like having two or three river trips together. Yeah. In those 18 days we were on the river.
And would you do more than 18 days, do you think?
Yeah, I could have. I would have. Yeah. The other observation I had about Grand Canyon is I'd envisioned it as constricted and dark and close walled, and except for a couple of places, it's anything but that. It's as wide open as any other river, any other desert river, in my opinion. Just didn't feel constricted at all down there.
With all the rivers that you've done, do you have like a favorite river that comes to mind? If I'm just like, what was the best river you've ever done? This is tough.
At the end of every trip at the takeout, my thought is this was a good river. The next one is better.
I love that. Well, what are the ones coming up this year? What have we got on the books? I guess none yet, right? Because we don't know about permits.
I do have a Middle Fork early season permit.
Oh, yes.
One of the lucky ones. Applying for all of them and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, I can't tell you how special it was to have you on the show and how much I look up to you and love you and am so grateful that you got us all into this, because it's really shaped pretty much every decision I've made in the past few years. So I just love you.
Hopefully I haven't embarrassed our children too much during this year.
I seriously love listening to all the stories. So yeah, I just love you and I'm really grateful. So
love you too. And thanks for this opportunity.
Yeah, you're the best. Okay. I love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.